The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness, now in its 27th year. Your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for education and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the snowman himself, David Snow.
Here's another reason to soak in the sunshine. We didn't get to this article in the Health Hotline News in the first hour. It can reduce your heart disease risk. We've talked about this before. In a study of 70 people with clogged arteries, those who got 4,000 units of vitamin D daily improved artery health by 10% in as little as 8 weeks. The vitamin D blocks the production of hormones that constrict blood vessels and reduces inflammation linked to hardened arteries. Now, you should know that the body produces over 10,000 units of vitamin D after just 10 or 15 minutes of sun exposure if you have most of your skin exposed at the midday level of the sun. So experts recommend that you get some sun exposure before you put on your sunscreen. You know, you've always heard dermatologists, 20, 30 minutes before you get out in the sun, put on your sunscreen because it gives it time to absorb in your skin. But now the thinking is that you should go sunscreenless and just have naked skin or the sun hitting your bare skin Well, you could be. Actually, today, was it today or last week? It's International Nude Day. But I guess nudists get more vitamin D than the ones that don't. Anyway, welcome to hour number two, the healthiest 2 hours on radio. It's the Snowman with you, David Snow, keeping you cool and healthy. And we do it every week at this time. And we thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend, which we do always hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. Today on the program, in this hour of the program, we'll first have a mini interview with Glenn Dunsweiler. He's a former Hollywood producer, and he has a couple films to his credit, and he's going to be talking about homelessness and health, how it affects those who are homeless, and as well as those indirectly affected by the homeless people around them. And even some of the benefits of homelessness teaches you things like resourcefulness and humility and gratitude and appreciation, and sometimes not so much. But there's some interesting information he has on homelessness as it relates to health, both personally at a local level and a societal level. Then our main guest in the second half of the program, second half of this hour's show, is Dr. Ira Williams. He's a retired oral surgeon. And he has some interesting information on what we can do to improve our healthcare system here in America. Also, how to be a healthcare warrior, how and why you should be a healthcare warrior. So not a worrier, a warrior. Make sure I pronounce that correctly. And then later this hour, too, Dick Allgaier's health report coming up. And coming up in just momentarily, we'll have the fitness file for you, as well as sexual health and the Funny Bone Pharmacy. Okay, a couple articles we didn't get to in the Health Hotline, Health Hotline News in the first hour. The anti-flu diet. Now, sometimes the flu shot works, as you know. Sometimes it doesn't. So what can you do to increase your risk or decrease your risk or reduce your chances of coming down with the flu? Well, think food pharmacy, and that is eating more apples, blueberries, broccoli, and onions. I know they're not good for your breath, but they are good for your health. And that's because onions, especially the red onions, are the richest source of quercetin. That's a flavonoid compound that's been linked to catching fewer colds. This is from the University of South Carolina. And it basically has four times the quercetin of other produce, and if you introduce some onions into your diet, you'll reduce your chances of coming down, not only with the coming down for with a flu, but also catching fewer colds, high consumption. All right, Parkinson's linked to virus that kills good gut bacteria. Virus that kills a good form of gut bacteria could trigger Parkinson's disease. They say that although Parkinson's is a brain disorder, it starts in the nerves and the gut. And this is research from the Human Microbiology Institute in New York. They say that gut microbes might be responsible. How's that? It's unclear whether microbial changes cause the nerve damage that leads to Parkinson's or are a consequence of it. But it's an interesting link or connection there, not necessarily causation, but something to keep in mind. Couple rules of thumb. For every day you spend in the hospital, plan on 1 week to recuperate. Also, brushing your teeth to clean your arteries. Regularly flossing and brushing your teeth. Columbia University doctors found that people who do they found that people whose mouths contain a high number of bacteria that cause gum disease are more likely to have plaque-clogged arteries. You know, it's so ironic. I was talking to an ER physician friend of mine this week recently, and he was we were both talking about how ludicrous it is, and probably in a century people look back and say, what were they thinking? How dental, you know, it's basically dental and eyes, right? The eyesight that is not covered by health insurance. You have to get a separate policy or pay out of your own pocket. I mean, your teeth are part of your body. Hello. And there's more and more studies and more of a connection between your oral health and your, you know, cardiovascular health, neurological health, and on and on and on. You know, all the parts are connected, right? All right. Okay, get off my soapbox there. Okay, let's see. Let's go to one of our features, the fitness file. All right, getting physical for just a minute. Oh, here's a great quote. Okay, our fitness quote of the week. You're not going to get the butt you want by sitting on it. All right? That's a good tip to start out things with. Here's a tip to save time and tone your behind, speaking of your butt. You can climb the stairs rather than riding them. You know, the very first show I did almost 28 years ago, Dr. Health Radio, I had this anti-escalator campaign and, you know, walking up and down the escalators. But it can shave 20 seconds off. It saves your time, right? Instead of waiting to ride up the escalator, you'll save about 20 seconds per flight of stairs. This from the University of South Carolina researchers. They say, plus, stair climbing burns 100 calories every 10 minutes. So, you know, think of just little things that you do during the day. They all add up to being more active and burning more calories in total at the end of the day. It's one of the best butt firmers around. You know, the Swearmaster at the gym. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the Stairmaster. Okay. I used to call it the Swearmaster. Oh, these darn stairs. Okay. All right. Elsewhere in fitness, moving more to cut cancer. An active lifestyle helps prevent cancer, especially in women. Japanese researchers tracked almost 80,000 people, and they looked at energy expended during standing, walking, sitting, working out. Most active men were 13% less likely to get cancer than the least active. For women, the gap was 16%, and they say even small increases in activity improve the odds of staving off the cancer disease. All right, and let's see, one more fitness article. Okay, five more ways that exercise keeps you young. You know, it's the magic pill, magic fountain of youth, really. Cardio workouts, for instance, increase your feel-good neurotransmitters, things like serotonin and norepinephrine. Helps you sleep. You fall asleep faster and sleep longer if you exercise. Also keeps you slim, regulates the production of hormones, the fat hormone leptin that controls your appetite. Helps firm you up. That goes without saying. Counteracts that gravity, prevents sagging. My favorite quote from Dolly Parton, the actress and singer, she says, if it's sagging, dragging, or bagging, I'm going to nip it, tuck it, or suck it. You know, she made no qualms about going to her local plastic surgeon for any little work that she might have needed done. But anyway, it's better to do it naturally. All right. Oh, and also it can charge up your sex life. The hormonal changes that you produce when you exercise, it can increase your libido. Just 20 minutes of exercise a day gets you in the mood, increasing blood flow to the genitals. And speaking of that, let's go to matters of sexual health. All right. And we got two or three articles on that. First, for you women, if you're going through menopause, a good workout may help beat hot flashes. University of Illinois research, women in their 40s and 50s who walked or did yoga for 3 hours a week, not a day, just a week, reported fewer hot flashes and night sweats at a program's end. A German study also found that 3 hours of cardio and weights a week, every week, relieve menopause symptoms nearly as well as hormone therapy. And the happy side effect, of course, is a cheerier mood and a better sex life. Here's something. Research from Durham University showed that a men's testosterone level, or man's testosterone level, they're largely determined not by race or genetics, but rather, surprisingly, childhood environments. That is, if men grew up in an area that had more infectious diseases, they're more likely to have lower T levels than those with childhoods in healthier environments. So, you know, it's genetics, but epigenetics much more important, the effect on your environment as it affects your genetics and, of course, lifestyle as well. Okay, and then this third article is purely for entertainment purposes only. It has to do with animals. But I thought it's kind of interesting because, you know, just in the natural kingdom, people think that humans are the only people that have vibrators. Well, did you know that animals can also have their version of vibrators? Peacocks have peahens buzzing. This is funny. When a peacock rattles his opulent feathers at a female of the species, it makes a sound at a specific frequency, get this, causing the crest on her head to vibrate. This is research from Haverford College in Pennsylvania. They found the peahen feels the vibration thanks to delicate hair-like feathers called mechanicosensive phyloplumes at the base of the crest of their feathers. And this vibration encourages females to mate with the males. How about that? And they say that other birds with elaborate feathers may have similar capabilities. So birds of a feather vibrate together, I guess. All right. Okay, let's go to the Funny Bone Pharmacy, shall we? All right, where is the Funny Bone Pharmacy? Oh, okay. In the first hour, we talked about recipes and different healthy choices for making different preparations and meal planning. Here's quick and easy meals for the cooking impaired. That would be me. Let's start with breakfast. Oatmeal, not oatmeal, but oatmeal. Ingredients, 1.5 cups Cheerios, 1 teaspoon sugar, 3/4 cup whole milk. Directions, pour Cheerios into bowl. Sprinkle sugar over top. Add milk, stir, and serve. A variant, try adding the milk first and then the sugar. Now, that takes a lot of skill. Or how about this one? A snack, Java Jelly A-Go-Go. Okay. Ingredients for this recipe. Mind you, this is quick and easy meals for the cooking impaired. 2 cups boiling water, 1 teaspoon instant coffee, 1 jelly donut. Directions? Let's see. Cook water until it bubbles. Scoop coffee in coffee mug, add bubbling water, and stir. Place jelly donut on plate and serve. Again, serious talent involved here. And finally, my favorite, lunch, pizza. Okay, here, get this. The ingredients, 1 phone book... 1 phone, 1 $20 bill, and 1 12-ounce can of beer. Directions, open phone book to section letter P. Under heading for pizza, find nearest pizzeria. Phone in order for pizza with topping of your choice. Wait 30 minutes or less. Upon arrival, pay for pizza, including the tip for the driver. Open beer and serve. Voila! Now you're a master chef. All right. So much for that. And just a couple other funnies for you before we're just running a minute or two behind. Let's get our guest on the phone, shall we? All right, let's see. It's a beautiful day. I think I'll skip my meds and stir things up a bit. It's a t-shirt slogan. What about this? Let's see. Line dancing was started by women waiting to use the bathroom. You know, it's always, I always feel sorry for women because in at sporting events or different public functions. You know, where you see the line out the women's bathroom, but the men, hey, not so much because they can stand up, right? Let's see. A couple other funnies before we depart and bring you our next guest, Glenn. The next guest we have, Glenn Dunsweiler, Hollywood producer, talking about homelessness, but a couple others. The 12-step Chocoholics program. Never be more than 12 steps away from chocolate. Okay. Let's see. Crazy? I prefer the term hilariously unstable. Okay. Seen it all, done it all, just can't remember most of it. Let's see. Here's another one. Onion rings are vegetable donuts. All right. How about this one? Computer psychiatrist. Do we really need one of those? And a couple of others. I'm sorry for what I said when I was hungry. All right. Okay. So let's take a break and be back with more information for your good health. Oh, here's one more. A doormat. Ring bell. Pull weeds until someone answers. And then finally, T-shirt says, on average, I spend $80 a year on bananas to watch them turn brown. I know people like that. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about homelessness and its connection to health, both indirectly and directly, whether you're homeless or not. Most of us are not, but we are affected by those who are. And we'll talk about that. And then in the second half of this hour, Dr. Ira Williams, a former surgeon, talks about how to be a healthcare warrior and what we can do to improve our healthcare system in America. Details coming up right after this as Dr. Health continues.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just 2 capsules of xanthocin with a meal equals 6 capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com. Colon, something you don't usually think about unless it's causing problems like irregularity, constipation, gas, and bloating, or diarrhea after taking antibiotics. For true relief, you need to protect and strengthen your colon with targeted probiotic support. True Bifido contains a powerful dose of probiotics with 5 bifidobacteria strains that help balance the immune system, promote colon health, and improve digestive comfort. Why True Bifido and not the countless other probiotics on the market? First, it's from Master Supplements, the makers of Theralac, the fastest-acting medical-strength probiotic available. That means True Bifido has the same patented delivery and stimulation as Theralac for fast results. Remember, choosing the right strains, delivering them alive, and stimulating their growth are the keys to an effective probiotic. So if you're looking to improve the health of your colon, look no further than the refrigerated section of your nearest natural food store for True Bifido, the probiotic colon formula that works.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. If you like to get your hands dirty working in the yard, you could get a serious, even fatal disease from the tetanus bacteria in your soil. Maybe you wear gloves to help reduce injuries, but you need a routine shot every 10 years to prevent both tetanus and diphtheria, another potentially fatal disease. So get the TD booster shot. If it's been 10, do it again. To learn more, visit the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases at www.nfid.org.
Hey, we're excited you could join us and make us a part of your weekend. We do hope to make it strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. And if you can't be with us all hour long, you can always listen to us at 9 o'clock on the station you're listening to right now. Before we get to our next guest, Glenn Dunsweiler, we want to mention our Highway Health Patrol announcement, and that is that Well, we have a quote of the week, a safety, health, and quote of the week, or health and safety quote of the week, I should say. Never drive faster than your guardian angels can fly. That's a good one. Also, besides not speeding, don't be a 3D driver. We've mentioned this many times. That is distracted, drowsy, or drunk or drugged. Leave the 3D for the movies. And speaking of movies, we have a former movie producer, actually a current movie producer. He produced one on homelessness of all topics. Glenn Dunsweiler is my guest. He'll be talking about homelessness and health, how it affects those who are and those who are affected by those who are homeless. And we welcome him to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Glenn. How the health are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being there and doing what you're doing. Now, tell us how you got involved in promoting not homelessness, but the awareness of what we can do about the topic of homelessness.
Yeah. I bought a house in 2006, and that was a very bad year to buy a house.
Right.
And in 2008, I was going to get cut back at work. I was teaching at UC Riverside, and we were going to hit some work furloughs. So I called my bank, and I said, in about 4 months, I'm not going to be able to make my full mortgage. What can we do? And they said, well, you have to stop paying us before we'll even talk to you.
I know. Isn't that something?
I started thinking about what that meant, and that meant I would ruin my credit, and then if they did foreclose on me, I would not be able to pass a credit check for an apartment. And I thought, wait, I teach at a university, I'm an upstanding member of this community, and I could become homeless. So then that threw me into really researching who becomes homeless and why in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And after I found some stuff out, I decided it needed to be a documentary. So then I made that documentary.
And you were also a producer, and you worked in Hollywood. I think you're in Burbank right now, but you've done movies, and you were stage and lighting, I think, things like that.
So mainly for live entertainment before, and then I taught in academia, teaching live entertainment production management. And really, my documentary thrust me into doing more video projects and film.
Oh, okay.
And I'm currently in Los Angeles as an independent filmmaker and producer.
Now, tell us about the Why Homeless. Is it called Why Homeless, or what's the latest?
Yeah, Why Homeless.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the latest is a book called Things I've Learned from the Homeless.
Okay.
Currently on Amazon Kindle download. And Why Homeless is the documentary. And the interesting thing is, you know, I made that in 2010, 2011. At the height of us seeing homeless from the housing crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was kind of a lull. And now what I'm seeing across the country is we're right back into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just as bad as it was in 2010.
Now, where we broadcast, Glenn, where we broadcast from here in Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands, we have the highest homeless population, mainly because of the weather. We can be homeless, you know, 24/7, 365. And it's not life-threatening because of our summer year-round weather, basically. But tell us any particular things that you know about Hawaii that are different from the mainland as far as homelessness goes?
Right. So I was doing some research specifically in Hawaii, and it's interesting because you've got the same much of the same difficulties other cities do. But San Diego has a very temperate climate.
Right.
They
mm-hmm.
have. They have issues where people just fall asleep on the sidewalk, but those are also college students. So,
okay.
I think Hawaii is interesting because it is a destination, and people get the vibe that they can be homeless on the beach. I was watching a mini documentary on it, and there are a lot of kind of expats from the mainland that come over that think it's just an easier way of life.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I just noticed that you had a lot of commonalities with a lot of other cities
uh-huh.
in the United States.
Okay.
And it's just this compounding of different instances of like your housing. Your
right.
housing market is really expensive.
Oh, yeah. It's and one of the most expensive in the nation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that throws a lot of people that are on the edge out. And really what I found in this country is we depend on our families more than we really admit.
Mm-hmm.
And capitalism doesn't care about you. So if you get sick, if you lose your job, if, let's say, you get a little depressed, if your roommate moves out on you, if you don't have a personal network, you are in serious danger of becoming homeless.
That's right. Well, and a lot of people, sorry to interrupt, but a lot of people are only one paycheck away from being homeless. I mean, a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck because of the cost of living, whether it's here in San Francisco or any other expensive city, New York City. It's, just pick an expensive city to live in. And and we're on the verge of being homeless. We still have a roof over our head, but in many instances, it's there's not too much of a buffer there as far as a reserve. And so you talk about things you learned from the homeless. Tell us about some of the positive things. Like for short periods of time, you learned what humility and resourcefulness. Tell us about some of the things that are on the positive side of the situation.
Absolutely. So homeless people live life on the edge, and the ones that do succeed to pull themselves out of homelessness, or at least are sustaining to try to get themselves out of homelessness, really become someone to look up to for their values, because they really understand what is important to them. I've talked to people that have decided that no matter what, their family is important to them and they will stay together, even if that means they sleep in a car. They will not split the family up and mom and child go to a shelter and dad just fend for himself.
I see.
And other people will say, well, my location, my home, my familiarity is the most important to me. So that people will stay in cities where it's really harsh to be homeless because their location is important to them. And they also are good at turning negative things into positive experiences. They're staying positive through negative experiences because, well, as a homeless person, you're constantly up against frustration and being let down and things not going for you. So that they really, the ones that have succeeded have really found a way to push through. And I think that a lot of us who don't have to deal with day-to-day strife can learn a lot from those people.
Now, how long is your video or your clip, the things that you learned from the homeless?
So Things That I Learned from the Homeless is a book.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Amazon, yes.
Okay, but the movie, you have a documentary.
90-minute feature documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. So if you have a subscription to Prime, you can watch it for your subscription price. And it's a full documentary about the different populations of homelessness that we see out there and how they get there, how they, the problems they have once they're there and how they get out, how the success story. It's really, I tried to make it an inspirational movie and instead of kind of a sad story. Yeah,
all right.
I really want to focus and humanize these people. These people are people without functional families and support networks. And that's really the overarching takeaway from homelessness.
Okay. I'm sorry to be short with you, but we only have a few minutes and we got to do some business and get on to our next guest. Let's talk about, and first of all, I want to mention that your book is fresh off the presses. It's been out for just 4 days, so this is very fresh, new information. The book, again,
Absolutely.
Things I've Learned from the Homeless. What is the name of the documentary for us to know?
It's called Why Homeless.
Just the letter Y. Okay, Why Homeless.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, and you talked about the need for family and community and the stats and solutions. What is the average age of a homeless person? Do you know that?
There is no average age of a homeless person. In fact, for it. There are probably more homeless children than there are homeless adults, because if you have enough as adults and they are homeless, if they have children, well, it's usually a multiplier.
Yeah, right. Now, ignoring the problem really creates more problems, doesn't it? When societies
Absolutely.
Try to just, put it in one part of the city or hide it from the tourism population or things like that. And then what about frustration of government officials, politicians and clergy and community members and groups? It must be frustrating to see that it's not something that's going to ever completely go away, right?
Correct. But there are things we can do to lessen it because there are so many different people coming to homelessness. So, for example, mothers running away from abusive families, children running away from abusive families, if we get those people that are really receptive to support, then we can pull them out of homeless bad habits or homeless thoughts or the way that they've had to live their life. If we get to veterans and we figure out, hey, how can we help transition you back to functionality?
Yeah, we know that people
have PTSD, we know, but how can we do that? Because thank you for serving, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Those are the people that we should focus on instead of just being angry at the grizzled man on the corner with the sign that just yells at you, right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah. With the sorrowful message or the request for a handout or something. Glenn, I can't thank you enough for being on. This addresses things like sanitation and hygiene and crime rates and government subsidies. I mean, if we ignore it, all those things are going to go up. If we hit it head on or really tackle the problem, we're going to at least minimize the effect of homelessness, the negative side of it, as it relates to our communities and, you know, both on a local and national level. Give us the name of the book again is Things I've Learned from the Homeless. Tell us how to get it.
Correct. Amazon Kindle. Go to Amazon and download it on Kindle.
Great. Thanks so much. Good luck with the book.
Right.
Fresh out.
Thank you very much.
Fresh off the presses. All right. There goes Glenn Dunsweiler. And we're going to take a brief break for bottom of the hour station ID and be back with Dr. Ira Williams talking about medical errors in both hospital and inside the hospital and out of the hospital, as well as how to be a healthcare warrior and why you should be one. So much more information to come here on the Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. I'm David Snow. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy.
Do you own a dog or a cat? Then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic Noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com. By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you 5 dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and sleep. And no matter which doctor formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
Curcumin-rich Theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, Theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich Theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
His name is Mr. Snow, and an upstanding man is he. He comes home every night in his round-bottom boat with a neck full of herring from the sea.
Welcome back to The Cure for the Common radio show, here where there are no virtual doctors or nurses on this show. No siree. Sorry, Dr. Google. Just the real ones here on Dr. Health Radio, Radio's original health news magazine. And we do have an original and real doctor with us. Dr. Ira Williams, a retired oral surgeon, is with us talking about our healthcare system today and, among other things, how you can be a healthcare warrior and why you should be one. And we welcome him to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. Williams. How the health are you?
Hello, David. Great. And you?
Excellent. Thank you. Now, I know how old you are, and you sound a lot younger than your years, so something must be working.
Hey, God is good.
Yeah, right. Now, let's talk about medical errors, which is one of your platform topics. It's the third leading cause of death in the U.S., followed... The two things that kill more people are only heart disease and cancer. Otherwise, medical mistakes and errors kill about 100,000 people a year, or something like that. Let's talk about medical errors and why they're so prevalent in our society and our healthcare system, and what we can do about it.
Well, David, we should begin with, what does the word healthcare mean to you? I'm trying to expand people's understanding of the word healthcare. People don't understand that our nation's healthcare system has two equally important aspects. And they're both dysfunctional, but they're as different as boys and girls. So to understand our healthcare system, we've got to understand the critical difference between those two aspects. Now, the most prominent aspect is how to pay for health care after the fact. Very important, but I want you to assume a miracle. A genius has come up and provided a perfect way to pay for health care after the fact. Obamacare, Romney Care, Clinton Care, Medicare, Medicaid, all of it. We've put that problem to bed. The sad thing is your and your loved one's healthcare delivery system would still be broken. And that's the other aspect of healthcare, the healthcare delivery system. And I know why that system has always been broken, and I know how to begin to make it far better.
All right, do tell.
So, one of the greatest mistakes in all of the efforts to make our healthcare delivery system better is this: the failure by all the quality of care and patient safety experts to recognize that each state is responsible to create and maintain an effective healthcare delivery system.
So we shouldn't rely on the feds for our healthcare needs.
Not for the delivery system,
okay.
Doctors and hospitals.
Right.
And I'm going to give you three fundamental facts why the states are responsible. First fact, and now the first two facts of the three are, I consider, joined at the hip. Fact number one, all medical care is local. No matter where you are, you're going to get local medical care. Fact two, states license doctors.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Put those two together, that should be enough. But the third supporting fact is that all 50 state medical examining boards, each one has a mission statement containing the phrase to regulate the practice of medicine.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, they're never around. When something goes bad, do you ever hear anything about the medical examining board in your state doing anything?
Not really.
Not really. They're not there. So since each state is responsible to create and maintain an effective healthcare delivery system, and no state has ever even tried to create a true system, I've determined that the public needs health care warriors.
And does that have to be a doctor or somebody?
No.
Educated,
it's not a doctor.
Medical?
Health care warriors should be a group of activists who come together in their state and become organized similar to MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And any state's healthcare warrior's purpose would be to become significantly organized in order to demand meaningful change in that state. And what the healthcare warriors need, they need me to come in and show them how to become effective. And I can do that. I could show any group of activists sufficiently organized how to rapidly become effective, and I can do it step by step by step by step.
Now, before you were retired, Dr. Williams, did you have an active role in any medical boards or examining boards?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I was on the medical executive committee of hospital two-year terms. I was president of my state surgery society. I did something no one else had ever done in medicine or dentistry. I, in 1970, acting alone, organized the first major surgical mini residency. That's where doctors out in practice could come back and learn advanced techniques.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I did that in Madison, Wisconsin in 1970 for the surgical correction of jaw deformities. And when I was writing my first book in 2003, I noticed an article in one of the journals, the American College of OBGYN was lamenting the fact that they did not have many residencies. So in my book, I said, I did one of those 33 years ago.
Wow. You were definitely a medical pioneer in your time. All right.
Well, yeah, and it went great.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the Healthcare Warriors book, the new one, Why and How to Become One, this is an e-book, right?
Yes. It's an e-book on Amazon and other e-book sources. I wanted to get it out rapidly because I'm hoping that some group of people in one or two states will take me serious. I think if people would look at my book, it's under $10. If they just read the first 35 or 40 pages, they'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
All right.
And you know, you mentioned that some of the experts are saying that medical errors are the third leading cause of death behind heart disease and cancer.
That's right.
All right, well, let me give you two other sad statistics.
Shoot.
Every new estimate of needless hospital deaths has been greater than all previous estimates for the past three decades.
Wow, that's shocking.
They had the first estimate in 1990. Every estimate since then has been greater since 1990.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are reasons for that, David, and I think one of the greatest reasons is the failure to recognize each state's responsibility.
So what about self-care, though? I mean, you're talking about taking the feds or federal health care down to a state level, but what about taking it from a state level to an individual level?
Well, see, the state has to create an organizational structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
That then can recognize when accountability at the local level is not being provided.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2012, a surgeon at Johns Hopkins, Dr. Marty McCary, wrote a book entitled Unaccountable. I read his book in November 2012, and in that book, he tells you the dark side of what goes on in the healthcare delivery system. When I closed that book, I said, I've got to write another book. His book caused me to write Find the Black Box in 2013.
Tell us what that book's about. The title stymied me.
Yeah, I need to go back to 2010. My second book, Misdiagnosed, Why Current Healthcare Changes Malpractice, was, I believe, the first book that focused on the state responsibility, and since I live in South Carolina, I use that state as the example, and I recognize 13 components that contributed in some way to South Carolina's healthcare delivery system. Right before I wrote that book, in 2011, Governor Nikki Haley had just been elected. And I had a chance to meet with her face-to-face briefly in her first year in office. And with my book and the details that led me to write the book, I said, I can provide you with a detailed picture of your state's healthcare delivery system.
What did she say? What was her response?
She had just published a book entitled Can Is Not an Option, but unfortunately, all she could tell me is she can't.
Okay.
And all the years she was in office, I chased her. I've chased other people in the legislature. And I have challenged experts at the National Academy of Medicine several times in the last couple of years. And that's what led me to seeking healthcare warriors. One person is not going to change it.
Right.
It's going to take a group of activists who can have a sufficient understanding to where they can begin to demand meaningful change, and I can provide them with that understanding.
All right, Dr. Williams, we need to take one last break of the hour for Dick Allgaier's Health Report. And when we come back, I want to ask you about your first book, First, Do No Harm, The Cure for Medical Malpractice. We'll talk more about medical errors and malpractice when we return. My guest, Dr. Ira Williams, the author of four books, including the newest. The latest one is Healthcare Warriors, Why and How to Become One. That's released in ebook form this year, so you can get more information from him on that. But we will be back with more information for you right after this. But stay tuned now for this week's Health Report from veteran TV news reporter Dick Allgaier.
Eating nuts significantly boosted the number and health of sperm in young men in a scientific trial. The findings were presented at a meeting of the European Society of Human Reproduction and Embryology in Barcelona. Hazelnuts, walnuts, and almonds, 60 grams a day, help your sperm. A few years ago, two researchers took some of the 50 most used ingredients in a cookbook and studied how many had been linked with a cancer risk. Based on studies published in scientific journals. The result? 40 out of 50, including salt, flour, parsley, and sugar. The conclusion? Too few studies have large enough samples to support generalized conclusions. A professor at Stanford University who looked into this says, "You can't believe most scientific studies." Well, the FAA has ruled that small seats in airline cabins, not a safety issue. There was a lawsuit filed by a group called Flyers' Rights, but the FAA says it is not a health and safety issue. Officials say you can get out of those inhumane, cramped, disgusting seats quickly enough in an emergency. I think we should all boycott airlines until they improve conditions. Just don't fly. If everybody stopped flying for a year, sent a letter to the airline, and said, "I'm not flying on your airline until you make the seats habitable," they'd change it. The CEOs are making millions. Okay, off my soapbox. I'm Dick Allgaier. Don't you hate small air? The airline conditions are just awful. I'm Dick Allgaier.
Well, it's good to hear that I'm not the only one that gets on their soapbox. Dick Allgaier was ranting and raving. That's unlike him. He does it once in a while, but not quite that much. Hey, it's Cauliflowers on the Half Shell here on Hawaii's most nutritious talk radio, at least in the mornings and evenings. And, of course, we broadcast here from Hawaii, but we are also heard on the mainland as well in California. And so we welcome all of our listeners on both coasts or both states. All right, continuing our conversation with Dr. Ira Williams, talking about medical errors. Dr. Williams, let's talk about your first book, First, Do No Harm, The Cure for Medical Malpractice. Give us a thumbnail sketch of that book.
Well, I had been in practice in Madison, Wisconsin for several years, and then a series of cases led me to be the second surgeon for several patients who had been surgically abused by medical surgeons in all three private hospitals. Plus, I challenged the chairman of the Department of Plastic Surgery at the University of Wisconsin.
Oh, boy, that's you really bit off more than you could chew.
I broke the code of silence. In all three cases, the surgeons were found guilty of malpractice, but
wow.
I was the bad guy, and they economically ran me out of town.
Mm.
So that's what has led me to write my four books, is that I felt like I had an understanding of the system, and just like Dr. McCary's book, Unaccountable, his one-word title speaks volumes. people aren't talking in more detail about why medical errors may be the third leading cause of death behind heart disease and cancer.
Mm.
And here's one of the things you have to understand, David. Hospitals are the only place in America where an accidental death receives no immediate review by a source of authority.
Well, it's because it's a place where more people die.
I'm talking about questionable deaths.
Oh, I see.
And in those cases, see, I am still an active expert witness in surgical malpractice. In fact, last year, my declaration allowed a young Muslim attorney who had only been an attorney for a year or two to successfully sue an oral surgeon in Southern California who had harmed him in not one but two grossly inadequate surgeries.
Whoa, really? Hmm.
Yeah, and so people need to understand that when there's questionable care, unfortunately, so much of it, the majority of it, is left with sue or forget it, mm-hmm. the litigation system. And that system is heavily tilted in favor of the doctor. And so one of the reasons I wrote my first book was that I understood how flawed the malpractice litigation system is.
Ah, okay.
Wow. The public has never had a fair break in the review of questionable care.
And what do you think the solution to the problem is? How are we going to change it or fix it?
I begin by creating a organizational system at the state level.
Mm.
And I know how to do that.
Okay. Now, what about, let's shift gears because we only have a few minutes left, Dr. Williams.
Sure.
And that is, I know you were a commanding officer and first lieutenant in the U.S. Air Force. What about our VA, or our Veterans Administration, and all the veterans that are suffering the consequences of the political system and the medical nightmare they're going through? Any thoughts on how we can address that issue?
Well, sure. Look what President Trump just got passed. Now they can identify and fire people in the VA. I trained in the VA.
Mm-hmm.
I did my internship in Memphis when I graduated from dental school, and I did my surgery training in Milwaukee. And Trump just had a bill signed. He signed it that allows them now finally to identify and fire people who are not providing standard care.
Right, right. By the way,
but that just happened this year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one thing that just happened a few weeks ago is I met with Dr. David Shulkin, the former head of the VA, as you know, he's hopefully going to be a guest on the show. He said he'd try to make time for us in the near future, in the next month or two. But we'll talk to actually the former head of the Veterans Administration and from Washington. Let's talk about things that we can do on a personal level, whether you're a veteran or not. Is it just making doctors more aware of the knowledge that we, as patients, know, as a layman, our rights or the different things we have access to as far as programs and like you said, in case there's a litigation. Usually arbitration is the what the medical establishment wants, right? Because it's more one-sided in their favor.
No, it's not arbitrary. There are three systems that have the potential to review questionable patient care. There's medical malpractice litigation. There's medical peer review in the hospital medical staff. And there's the state medical examining boards. And the state medical examining boards have been worthless. And medical peer review was made secret by Congress in 1986.
All right.
Doctor,
I'm sorry to stop you. We're out of time. We're up against a hard break for the top of the hour news. Can you give us do you have a website or just the book titles?
I do. It's healthcarewarriors.org.
Okay.
Or findtheblackbox.org or .com.
All right. Thanks so much, Dr. Ira Williams, for being with us.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. And here we go with another edition. Join us again next week, same time, same station, for another edition. Until then, this is David Snow reminding you it's not how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha. Have a healthy week.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.